Please open with me in God's Word to Luke chapter 13. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 21 this morning. I want to begin reading in verse 10. We'll read verse 10 through verse 21. Now here, the Word of God, Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and put in his garden. And it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." As far as the reading of God's holy word. Let us now come to God in prayer, asking him to bless this word to us. Our God, we understand that there is no profit for us from your word apart from your Holy Spirit. For we would be as those who knew the prophecies of the Old Testament, and yet when they stood in your very presence, their minds were darkened, they were blinded to the truth. Open our eyes to see, our hearts to know the truth, and work that truth deeply in us today, that we might have a joy in knowing that your kingdom is being proclaimed, it is coming, it is growing, and it will spread out into the world, and it will be a place where we, as your people, we'll find our rest and our safety. So now, God, we ask that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here Jesus begins teaching with 2 parables on the kingdom. And it's important to understand what he means by the kingdom and what he's trying to teach. And the danger is for us all the time. I always find this myself, the danger is coming to God's word and thinking that we have an understanding of what it is God's word is saying. Particularly with regard to a kingdom, we may think, well, I know what a kingdom is. And then we may begin to think, I know what a kingdom is supposed to look like. I know how a kingdom is supposed to be run. And, you know, as I thought about this, I thought about Israel. Remember Israel? They wanted to be a kingdom like the other nations, didn't they? They said, okay, how is a kingdom to be run? Well, we need a king. And so they said to Samuel, we need a king. And God spoke through Samuel and said, I am your king. But they persisted. We want a king like the other nations. And they got Saul. And you know what? They got what they wanted. They wanted a king like the other nations, and they got a godless king ultimately. Now, thankfully, God in his mercy provided David a type of the one who was to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the danger here is that we come and we understand a kingdom to be a kingdom of our own making. That we are the ones who design and build this kingdom. But this morning, I want us all to consider from Scripture what the kingdom of God is really like. That's what Jesus asked twice here. He asked this rhetorical question, what is the kingdom of God like and to what shall I compare it? And we need to be reminded of this We need to be reminded of the truth of the kingdom, what the kingdom looks like, what kingdom growth looks like, because we can be very discouraged. Because as we look around, we see that kingdoms are growing. We see earthly kingdoms, and we see Satan's kingdom. And we can see those kingdoms growing in a sense, and we can see wickedness growing, and we can start to become discouraged and think, where's the kingdom of God? Where is it? I see all of these other kingdoms growing, and it seems like they're having victory, and we can become discouraged. But I want you to be encouraged this morning as we look at what Jesus teaches us. Because we're going to see that he teaches us that we ought to be encouraged because the kingdom is most definitely spreading. Even, and I would say especially when we can't see it spreading. It's spreading. But also to be comforted, because we'll see that the kingdom of God is a place of safety for all of God's people. It's spreading and it's a place of safety. And he brings this up here, and Luke records it for us in verse 18. The word then is the word therefore. Therefore. And so it's connected to what came before. And we have to ask the question, what is it connected to? And as I read this and studied this, it seems that it is connected to this episode in the synagogue where Jesus had healed this woman on the Sabbath. He's teaching about the kingdom, and he's doing so right after he has displayed the power of the kingdom. And he's facing opposition. This ruler of the synagogue has answered him with indignation. And then all of his adversaries are put to shame. And so the question, though, becomes, if he's facing this type of opposition, is the kingdom going to get off the ground? Is the kingdom going to get off the ground, or is it going to be thwarted by the religious leadership? And the answer is clearly no. This woman was bound by Satan for 18 years. And Jesus comes in, the one who is bringing the kingdom, and he proclaims liberty for her. And she is immediately released from her bondage. She's healed. The kingdom is coming in power. And this woman then is really a first fruits. She has come into the kingdom. She has been freed. She's a first fruits of the greater harvest that is going to come. Remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches and 3,000 souls are added to the church. Here we have the beginning of that has continued to go on from then until now. And will continue to go on, we'll see, until Jesus returns. The kingdom is going to spread. In fact, this whole section is really one of kingdom context. And today we'll look at 18 through 21, these parables of the kingdom. As we go on in Luke chapter 13, we'll see how one enters the kingdom. We'll see the order of the kingdom. The last or first, the first or last. We'll see those who miss the kingdom. Verse 34 of Luke chapter 13. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. See, Jesus is going to speak of the kingdom, but he's going to talk about those who miss the kingdom. We're going to learn today that the kingdom is like that tree that the birds of the air come and find their shelter and find their rest and find their safety. But Jesus says later, there are those of you who miss the kingdom. You missed me. And I wanted to gather you as little chicks under the wings of a mother hen, but you were not willing. You wanted nothing to do with this. And so what I want you to see this morning as we look at this, we're going to look at really two things, the spread of the kingdom and the safety of the kingdom. But the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that is guaranteed to spread and become a place of safety for God's people. A spiritual kingdom that is guaranteed to spread and become a place of safety for God's people. So we have the spread of the kingdom and the safety of the kingdom. And so, first, let's look at the spread of the kingdom, and that's the picture here in both of these parables. We have the spread of the kingdom signified by this mustard seed that is planted. Now, Luke doesn't do what Mark and Matthew do. They bring out the size of the seed, very tiny, but it's implied here. It's a tiny seed. It's put in the ground, and yet it grows to become a large tree. And so there's this growth of the kingdom, but this spread that is also like leaven, we learned that in verse 21, leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. So that spread throughout. The tree grows, the leaven spreads, so the kingdom as it grows will spread. But I want you to know that the way this happens is not the way that the religious leaders in Jesus' day thought it was going to happen. You see, Jesus just showed them how it was going to happen. He healed this woman. He released her from the kingdom of Satan and brought her into his own kingdom. But the religious leaders worried about doing it their way. And even Jesus' disciples thought this was going to be a problem. They said, well, Jesus, are you going to now turn the kingdom of Israel over to us? Are we going to defeat the Romans finally and take the kingdom for Israel? And that's a problem. But the reality is that we have to understand that it is not through religious organization, as if a religious body are going to be the ones. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church would say that. They would elevate the Pope, put the Pope in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, and think that through religious organization we will spread. No. It won't be through political maneuvering. It won't be through social pressure or military might. It is a supernatural work of God. That's how this woman was released from bondage. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. It is through a supernatural work of gospel preaching that the kingdom is going to come. And it comes supernaturally, first and foremost, in the hearts of God's people. We see that in the Heidelberg Catechism. As the Catechism expounds the Lord's Prayer, and asking in question 123, what is the second petition, your kingdom come? The answer is, that is, so govern us by your word and spirit that we submit ourselves to you always more and more. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the works of the devil, every power that exalts itself against you, and all wicked devices formed against your holy word, until the fullness of your kingdom come, wherein you shall be all in all. Govern us by your word and spirit, particularly the preaching of the gospel applied to us by the Spirit of God. That's how the kingdom comes. It comes supernaturally in our hearts, and like leaven, it works its way all throughout us, doesn't it? It sanctifies us. And it's important to understand that, and we'll see this a bit tonight as we look at Peter, and Peter tells us that God is building us up as living stones into a spiritual house. But it is God who is doing the building. We are not the ones who are building the kingdom, God is. We are not the ones who are bringing the kingdom, God is. And he has brought the kingdom to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not building the kingdom. No, we are being built up upon Jesus, our chief cornerstone. We are not kingdom builders or kingdom bringers. We are kingdom recipients. It's important to understand. We are receiving a kingdom that is given to us by our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a supernatural work from beginning to end. And so we see that it's going to take root. And once it takes root in the heart, it will work. It will grow just as this tree grows, just as this leaven works its way through the meal. But here's the issue. The issue is that often we hear this and we say, well, I don't see it. Yes, I understand that God promises to work and to bring about his kingdom, and that he promises by his word and spirit to work in my heart. But boy, I don't feel it. I don't see it. And so it's important to understand that this spread, it's a supernatural spread, but it happens sometimes secretly. Under the radar, as it were. We do have fruit and we do have glimpses of it, but this is happening under the radar. That's particularly brought out here in the illustration of leaven. Now, leaven was like yeast. It was put in. But once it was mixed, you couldn't tell where it was or what it was doing. You can't separate it later. But what Jesus says in this parable is that like leaven, it will work until all of the bread is filled with it and leavened. And so it may happen under the radar, but it will happen. I love this out of one of the commentators I read. Speaking of the grace that begins to work in our heart and comparing it to this leaven, he says, the first beginnings of the work of grace in a sinner are generally exceedingly small. It is like a mixture of leaven with a lump of dough. A single sentence of a sermon, or a single verse of Holy Scripture, a word of rebuke from a friend, or a casual religious remark overheard, a tract given by a stranger, or a trifling act of kindness received from a Christian. Some one of these things is often the starting point in the life of a soul. Now, how encouraging is that to think about? You're going to have many opportunities to go out into the world in this next week. And as you show the love of Christ to others, as you speak the truth, as you do these things, think and pray, God, this may be the beginning of something in that soul. And who knows how God has used what you've already done and said. I love it. A small thing, a single sentence of a sermon. A simple phrase, an overheard remark. We don't know who is listening to us. How glorious is that going to be when we stand together in heaven and we find out that there's a person there who's saved, redeemed, who had the beginning of the work of God in their soul because they overheard something we said, a person that we never met on the earth. That's the picture here. You don't know what one little word from you is going to do in the life of another person. You just don't know. And so this kingdom is coming. It's spread. It's happening secretly. We can't detect it in our own hearts often. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. We certainly can't detect it in the hearts of others. But it doesn't come as earthly kingdoms grow. I want you to think for a moment about the difference between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdoms of this earth. The kingdom of Christ is not a kingdom that anybody, I guess in their earthly understanding, would pick. So you have a king whose crown was thorns. Yes. You have a king who was crucified. Absolutely. Let's not forget about the resurrection. But absolutely. And then think about the way the kingdom is described in Scripture. It's a reverse order. To live is to die. To die is gain. The last shall be first and the first last. The humble are exalted. Earthly wisdom is considered foolishness. And persecution results in growth. See, when we come to God's Word, we have that danger of coming with our own understanding. And we think this is how a kingdom should operate. If I were running the kingdom, this is how I would operate the kingdom. I wouldn't have suffering in my kingdom. My people wouldn't suffer. I would be a great king who protected them from all suffering. I certainly wouldn't put the last first and the first last. No, you see, we come often with earthly wisdom. And we think we know what the kingdom is like. But we have to be redirected to heavenly wisdom. We have to know what the kingdom is. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's helping us to see that it is a supernatural work in the hearts of God's people that is often done under the radar, secretly. But we know this, and this is the confidence, that it will surely happen. It may begin small. Zechariah 4:10 says this, do not despise the day of small beginnings. We have to remember that. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. All of you had a small beginning. And when we look at the glory of Christ and His righteousness and glorification, we all still have a pretty small beginning, don't we? But don't despise the day of small beginnings, because we are in a kingdom and serve a king that is unstoppable. We see that this mustard seed becomes a large tree. This leaven that went in, it leavens the whole lump. And think about this. At this time, where was his kingdom? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But where were his followers? And at the time of his death, how many of his followers were still following him? I mean, they were, but they'd run away. It looked pretty bad. From the outside, that looks like a failed kingdom, doesn't it? And a failed king. In fact, they wrote, King of the Jews, above him on the cross, to mock him. Look at that failed king. He can't even save himself. Let him come down from the cross. And then we'll believe. Then we'll believe that he has a strong kingdom. But no, think about it. 40 years after Christ's death, the gospel had spread. The gospel had spread to the great centers of the Roman world. It had spread to far off places. And since that time, think about the world over, how it has spread. Think about that. And think about how it is continuing to spread. It's spreading today. And it will not stop until Jesus returns. And so this gives us great confidence. We can know with absolute assurance that the kingdom is going to grow and spread. We can have assurance that as we preach the gospel, that God by His Spirit will work in the hearts of His people and bring about the kingdom. It may be small. Again, I want to encourage you. It may be small. That what you have in your heart right now may be small. A small flicker. But it's a beginning. A beginning that will spread. Like that leaven, grace will grow. What does Scripture say? He begins a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what is going to happen. There's this spread of the kingdom. But then I also want you to notice that there's the safety that we have in the kingdom. This kingdom spreads. And we're told by Jesus in verse 19 that as it grows, it becomes like this, like a large tree, and the birds of the air nest in its branches. The birds of the air nest in its branches. And so we have the spread of the kingdom, but the safety, as this kingdom grows, it provides a place of safety for God's people. Turn with me in Ezekiel to Ezekiel chapter 17. There are other places in the Old Testament we can go to speak of the concept of a tree and of birds nesting in the branches, but I really love this text, Ezekiel chapter 17. In verses 22 through 24. What a glorious picture in the Old Testament of what Jesus is bringing out here in the New Testament. So this is the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 17. And verse 22. And the context here is one in which the kingdom has been brought down, a rebellious house has been brought down, but God promises that He is going to, by His own power, establish a kingdom, not a rebellious house, but a house that will seek His will. And so listen to these words, Ezekiel 17, verse 22. Thus says the Lord God, I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, and it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches they will dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and exalted the low tree, dried up the green tree and made the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Now, do you think this is going to happen? Absolutely. He says, I'm going to bring down, he says, all of the other trees, all of the other kingdoms, they're going to know that I have exalted this one kingdom. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. And we see there in Ezekiel chapter 17 that these birds of every sort will dwell in it. And under it, in the shadow of its branches. Speaking of all who will come to God through Christ and enter into His kingdom. And so what a glorious picture we have here. And we think about birds nesting in its branches. Well, why do birds nest in branches? Well, first we might think of shelter, and I think so. I have a evergreen in my backyard, and the other day I heard a lot of noise, a lot of birds. They were blackbirds. I'm not sure what kind they were. That was the color. But I started looking in the tree. I mean, I kept hearing this noise, and then I saw one. And then pretty soon I saw another, and I lost count. I was probably counting the same one again and again. But they were everywhere. But they were protected. Think about a bird out of there, a bird out in the elements. Now, it wasn't raining or storming, but think of a bird out of the elements. Think of the bird in the sun or a bird on the ground. A bird on the ground may be in danger of being taken by a predator. But not a bird in the shelter of the tree. There's the picture. The kingdom is spreading so that in it we find shelter. But also, we see another thing here. The birds of the air, they come and they nest. Now, what is a nest created to do but to provide a place of rest, right? So we see here both shelter that we find in the safety of the kingdom and the rest that we find. But I want to warn you that this kingdom, safety, provided in shelter and rest is for all who come. These birds were told, come and nest in its branches. But not all come. I read earlier from Luke chapter 13, verse 34. I'm going to read it again. Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." You were not willing to come and to nest in the branches that I provided. You were not willing to come and find shelter. You were not willing to come and find rest for your soul. But for us who come, what a privilege it is to know that this is the kingdom that God is building. He is causing it spread. He is the one who provides the safety for us. And he's demonstrated the coming of that kingdom here. He's healed the crippled woman. He's freed her from bondage to Satan. We might say he has translated her out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom. Into the kingdom that he rules and reigns over, the kingdom of God's dear Son. And Jesus now teaches, therefore, just like this woman was translated out of a kingdom and into another kingdom, so this kingdom is going to continue to grow and to spread until it spreads all over. And as it spreads, it's going to provide a place of safety for all of my people. So I want you to be encouraged. Earthly kingdoms, they're going to come and go. Where's the Roman kingdom today? It's gone. They're going to come and go. Earthly kingdoms are going to come and go. Even Satan's kingdom is temporary. There is one kingdom and one kingdom alone that will stand now and forever. It's the kingdom of Christ. It's the kingdom we're told of here. And so let us not be discouraged. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you see out there in earthly kingdoms. I don't care what you see Satan doing. Do not be discouraged, but be encouraged. Because Jesus teaches us here that we can have a great assurance that his kingdom will spread. It may look small, it may be undetectable for a while, like that leaven that enters the bread, but once you get that leaven in there, good luck getting it out. It's going to go and it's going to work until all is leavened, and so is the kingdom. So it's going to spread. And how is that going to happen? Primarily by the preaching of the gospel in your heart, to draw you near to God, to make you more like Christ. Because it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a kingdom that we're going to see with our earthly eyes. It's a kingdom that we understand by faith. It's a kingdom primarily that works in us. But the beautiful thing is that as God works in us, he will make us know more and more what it means to find shelter and rest in him. See, that's the beauty. That's the beauty. The beauty is that no matter what is going on around us, no matter what the other kings and kingdoms are doing, we who are in Christ can come as birds came and nested in these branches, so we can come in Christ. And we, unlike those who rejected Christ in his day, we do not reject the one who says, come, I'm going to gather you under my wings. I will be your shelter. I will be your rest. And so we might simply say this, proclaim the gospel. Go out this week. Speak the truth to others. You don't know who's listening, who's going to overhear. You don't know where that seed is going to be planted, where that leaven is going to be sown, where it is going to go in and it is going to pervade and work in the heart. And as you do, rest in Christ and trust that he will build and bless his kingdom. It's what he promises us here. Amen. Let us pray. God, encourage us by your word and help us to see the right, these right truths of your kingdom, to know that, God, your kingdom, even when with our eyes we cannot see things, even when our eyes tell us that things are going in the wrong direction, that we can know without a doubt that your kingdom, like leaven in meal, like a tree that is growing, will grow and will spread and will be so great that all of your people will be able to find security, safety, shelter, and rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.